Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to Marvel Vision, a podcast about Marvel, the MCU, and right now, Agatha All Along. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about yet another big episode of Agatha All Along, Episode 7, Death's Hand in Mine. If you haven't watched it on Disney Plus, turn away because we're going to get into spoilers. But as expected,
we got to figure out this reveal about Rio, you know?
Yeah.
We got to figure it out.
Yeah, what is she?
We figured it out. We figured it out in this episode.
Did we?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes, very big episode for a lot of reasons. This was as predicted, as expected, Lilia Calderu time-tripping episode. Got everything out of order and linked together with stuff from her past. We also got the next trial, which at first seemed to be kind of a Billy-esque trial, but actually was Lilia's trial in the Tower. Mm-hmm. Tower with some tarot. Very confusing. Very similar words.
Reverse tower.
Yeah, the reverse tower. You got to flip it back and reverse it. Right?
Yeah, a little Messy Elliot shout out. Come on.
I know how to make Pete happy at the beginning of a podcast. Anyway, we, without laying out everything
Missy
that happened.
Missy Elliott was
order,
the original Green Witch.
She was.
Oh, dare you.
Death. Anyway, basically to tell things very briefly in order, Billy and Agatha end up in this tower. They don't know how to do this challenge. Meanwhile, Lilia and Jen actually fell through the mud into some tunnels underneath the Witch's Road, end up in the same challenge. Ultimately, they figure out that, yes, this is Lilia's trial. She reads the cards, accepts herself as a witch, accepts her own mortality, manages to trick the Salem Seven to be in the trial as she flips the tower back and reverses it, killing the Salem Seven, but also killing herself in the process and looping back to her younger days, basically restarting her life in a certain way again, because it's all a loop. Time is a flat circle, as we like to say on the show. And the big reveal, as well as we cleverly teased earlier, is that Rio Vidal, as leaked by a Funko Pop, is Death. How that all works out, how she is a Green Witch and also Death, as Agatha mentions. I guess we'll probably find out next episode. But there we go. People,
she likes bad
this.
Boys.
She likes bad boys.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't? Bad boy alert for Aubrey Plaza, I guess. Switch it over from our other witchy show, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. People online have been lauding this as the best episode of the run so far and the best MCU episode ever.
Wow.
What do you think about that? What's your take on this episode? How'd you guys feel?
The temp check on the hot takes. All right. Yeah, I felt like this is
hot. I just checked the takes and the hot takes are hot.
Uh-oh. It's super hot. I agree. I had a blast in this episode. I love the ending. I love the song choice. Everything finally clicked in. I'm very excited for the next episode. So, yeah, I felt like this was a fantastic episode, even though it was super sad, but also nicely satisfying. So, yeah, I had a blast in this episode. I thought it was great.
You Justin, call what it about satisfying.
You? Yeah.
Yeah. I did really enjoy this as well. Surprisingly emotional for an episode.
Oh, dude, got choked up too, man.
Definitely choked up. Was so fractured, and it was like it was pushing our the logical side of our brain to make sense of all of these fragments that we've seen before from Lilia. But then at this, but it's pushing through all that to get to this emotional core at the end where she makes the sacrifice that I thought, yeah, this is my favorite episode. And I want to talk about that more in relation to Agatha in a second, maybe. As far as best episode of the MCU, I think it is maybe one of the best from an emotional point of view. I think MCU struggles with hitting on real emotion. I think WandaVision did it pretty well at points, but not too many other, especially on the television side, not too many other projects have hit that.
I really like this as well. I thought this was a very good episode of the show. Love Patti LuPone. Sad to see her go.
Patti LuPone, legend.
I mean, we can certainly talk about predictions, whether I know I've thrown out there a bunch of times that I think Agatha is going to trade part or all of her power by the end of the show to bring some witches back. But as we were discussing the Patreon Slack, I think a fair point is reversing Lilia's sacrifice would take away a little bit of the power of it. So I do wonder how it potentially affects that theory. I guess we'll see. I thought this was very well filmed. I liked a lot of the devices. I liked how they looped together Lilia's visions from previous episodes. They gave them sort of a fuzzy memory vignetted sheen throughout, which I thought was nicely done.
A lot of full circle moments. I mean, especially the one we saw, like her falling down and then realized later she was falling up because it was kind of weird. And just some real full circle moments. And the tarot card, when she sits down and says, "Let's begin," at the end, I was like,
One thing I really want to laud this show for is even with reveals that we predicted a million miles away, it still hits them really nicely. Like things like the Rio is death moment. We've known that for weeks at this point, if not the entire run of the show. Yeah. It still totally hit. All of the stuff with Lilia bringing this stuff together. Again, I think we've been predicting that from pretty much early on, that she's living life out of order. But it still really worked. And like you're saying, Pete, that moment when she finally pulls out the tarot and lays out who everybody is in the coven and they match it up to shots from throughout the season, I thought was really nicely done as well.
It's cool.
And that, like, out of sync, but that part where she's like, "I love you guys," I was like, oh my God, this is just so cool.
Yeah.
Well, and also like the way that, cause another theme I think here was that this coven is important and they need each other. That played in the plot, like you're describing, Alex, but at the end, like emotionally, I think, Lilia was talking about that, as she was playing those last tarot cards. So I think that sets up your theory that that the coven will come together and beat death. But to your point, I bet it'll happen right at the very end. So we don't have to undercut that emotional sacrifice.
I
do think that would be a shame.
I don't know if you can beat the plaza. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, you know, she's
Well, I think
win.
If we're going to get to prediction time, I think there's a pretty good chance Jen is going to die next episode. So we get down to Agatha, Billy at the end of the road. But I think they're also very clear that Jen is ultimately going to become a new high priestess of whatever this coven becomes going forward. So she's probably not going to stay dead. Alice died needlessly, essentially, so I think we'll have her back. I do wonder, though, given you do have this neat little loop with Lily, if she'll stay there. But there's one other thing I want to say that it contradicts a little bit what we're saying here. I do think this is a really good episode, and I do think this is a really good MCU episode, but I have seen this device done better before on other shows. So
Alex,
that undercut it a little bit for me. I will. It doesn't invalidate.
You didn't get choked up during this episode, bro? You didn't get a little choked up?
The line that got me was, "I love being a witch," because Patti LuPone really nailed
that. Really nailed it.
So such great delivery.
Fantastic. But I've called this one out before. The Queen, the episode of Castle Rock, episode 7, that does a very similar thing, but gets into spoilers here, but Sissy Spacek's character's dementia, and it is this actual, like, changes everything that you've been watching entirely, flips the whole series on its head, and even in a way where, like, you kind of knew this, it is a total emotional gut punch. Here, I felt like it filled things in a way where I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, that makes sense. That's something that we knew she was saying out of order, and now we see it in order for the most part. So it wasn't mind-blowing in the same way, or I will throw out there, and I know Justin's going to make fun of me for bringing up the show, but unequivocally the best episode of Lost was The Constant, the one with Desmond, where he's also living his life out of order. It's one of the best TV episodes of all time. I will not... Oh. What are you talking about, Pete? This is across the board. Everybody agrees about this. And it's a very similar thing where that
tells me it's true.
It is true. And that is another one that is a complete emotional gut punch. Neither of them invented it, though, because you got to go back to, like, and probably previous to this, but Slaughterhouse-Five by Kurt Vonnegut in terms of people living lives.
Sorry, real quick. L-O-S-T. I got to check.
Yeah, you want to write that down? You want to check out the show?
It's a TV show. Sorry, I've been living my television life out of order, so I got to go watch it. It's really good, right?
Here's my point. My point
throughout,
being
it's really good throughout, right, Alex? All the way?
It holds up. Just like that. All of the MCU.
Does that. Oh, whatever, dude.
I'm willing to give it a shot.
Why are you defending, like, that this show created this episode and whatever? Yeah, throughout time, there's different things done differently, but what's nice is...
No, it doesn't invalidate it. It's just I have seen this device before, and I've seen it done
congratulations,
better on other TV shows.
You're well-read.
Thank you.
You've seen a lot of television. Congratulations.
Thank you, Pete.
You're killing
it
in life. Way to be.
Thank you so much.
Alex, is this in the new season of Outer Banks as well?
Yeah, the new season of Outer Banks.
I haven't watched it yet.
That Sarah Cameron is living life out of order.
I can't wait to watch that.
And that's how she finds Blackbeard's treasure.
Show is out of order as far as I'm concerned.
This drives me nuts.
They probably just film a bunch of scenes with those people. They're like, I don't know, we'll figure it out in post.
MCU style.
You've said some wild things after seeing stuff, all right? So all I'm saying is, you know, whatever. Take it with a grain of salt because sometimes you're not the best gauge.
That's fine. We all have our opinions. I am offering up mine on this podcast.
Great. I'm glad that
saying
you are.
Whether it's right or wrong, it's just an opinion, Pete.
I hear you.
To be clear, it invalidates your opinion because my opinion trumps your opinion.
Oh, well, right. I do have take one thing easy, to say. Trump. Take it easy, dude. Don't get your orange on me. All right. Listen, I just think that what's
Pete's
great about this episode is we've battled with this show. Some episodes you're like, oh, I understand what's going on. Oh, I don't know if I like this character anymore. Ooh, this is getting me fucking creeped out. I don't know if this show's going to pull it off. And then everything comes together in this episode and makes it all kind of rewards the people who have hung in and rolled with this show in such a way that it is a nice release. And the stress
it's been
of
a real,
it.
I agree with you. It's been a real chore these past couple of weeks.
We've really hung in. Because you know what? We watched episode one, and we were like, surely that's it. Surely there's no more. And there was a two, and then three, and I was really sweating.
You got real worried after three. We had to talk
about
it.
We talked about this on the podcast. We were like, got to make it to lucky number seven. And there you go. We did.
We're finally done.
Great finale, honestly.
No way there's more here. Reveal? That's got
to
set up.
I want to say, though, I kind of wish that the tarot card reader was her mom, just because their back and forth was so rich, and there was so much kind of like history there, because even though they weren't saying a lot, they were saying a lot, and it was just such a sweet... And that, like, she even got me laughing a couple of times, that tarot card reader, just the way she said words. It was really fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like
talking about
this as well.
The Sicily, scenes from Sicily.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Just like Godfather Part Two. I really like those scenes. I thought they were well done with two actresses just sort of popping in, the young one and the old one. I also really like the device of subbing in Patti LuPone when her older consciousness is coming back there in those scenes. I thought that was neat. That was just like a very neat visual device and also a chance to have Patti LuPone give her more to do in this episode. And I agree with you. I thought, you know, that was like we talked about on previous episodes, I think it was nicely mystical. You know, we're getting away from the witch rays and getting back to the actual mysticism and actual witchcraft, I put in quotes, but I like that.
No, I know what you mean, Alex. The real shit.
The real shit.
The stuff we believe in on this podcast.
Yeah, the stuff that you can only find in like the back of a Hot Topic.
Yeah, exactly. That's the real, that's where the Bugs Bunny tarot decks are, where the really fucked up Tasmanian devil shit.
Yeah, I don't want any of your Funko Pops or 311 shirts. Show me the real shit.
Yeah. All right, man, I'm only 13, but I think this wallet chain is sick.
I was about to shout out some lines, but I want to go back to something you said earlier, Justin. You wanted to talk about Agatha, and I think I know where you're going to go with this, but take it away.
I mean, she's not really the focus of this show. She's
this episode.
This episode, but the show in general, she almost feels like she's the heckler of the show, especially when we're dealing with this real emotional stuff, a story interestingly told about slipping through time. And she's like, hey, it's not working, over and over again. And I was like, hey, knock it off. It is working on me in my heart. And there's been the teen episode where we revealed Billy at the end. She was barely in it. And she felt like maybe the sort of pommel horse that everyone is pushing against, but she's not sort of the protagonist by any means in this. She's more of a force of nature.
I agree with you on that. I really felt that in this episode in particular, like you're saying, after an entire episode where we're focusing on Billy. And I started to get worried. A couple of people were hitting me up online being like, hey, is this going to turn into the Billy Maximoff show? And I was like, no, it's Agatha all along. It's about Agatha. But then when we get into this episode and it is more about like, who is Billy? Is he Billy or William? Which I thought was a really nice emotional beat to get there as well, mind you. So I still liked that. But like you're saying, Agatha standing in the background the entire time and shouting out lines, and that's pretty much it. And she is, I think, she's the antagonist of the show. She is the villain of the show. She is the one who's working against everybody at every move and only out for herself, and ultimately will have, like, I'd imagine, not a 100% turn, but like a 10 to 20% turn. But it's got to get back to her, particularly in these last two episodes. And I think we're probably going to get a death flashback in the next episode to sort of loop that, very similar to the Billy thing.
So we've got to figure out Nick Scratch.
Yeah, we've got to figure out Nick Scratch. We're definitely going to go back to like how Agatha killed her coven and everything. We're going to find how she fell in love with Rio, et cetera, et cetera. So there will be an Agatha focus there. But if that is an entire flashback episode, we're really only getting one episode to find any sort of growth in Agatha. And depending on the length, that potentially could feel rushed.
Well, and she, if her growth is going to be shown by her, you know, resurrecting her coven that has all been killed, that she helped kill when it comes to Alice and some others, like, that feels like, what are we going to, who's going to show her that? Mm-hmm. Rio? Is Rio going to be like, you killed them? And that, like, it just feels like if this show's about Rio and Agatha and their relationship, or at least the next episode is, and the loss of Nick Scratch, perhaps, then how are we putting the coven in on that in the final episode? It just feels like two very separate paths.
I think this is pure speculation, but I feel like the only way she could show some real emotion is if Billy is in danger from Rio, because she already does, even if she says she doesn't, she cares about Billy. She was his babysitter, as we're helpfully reminded this episode. She did take care of him from when he was a baby, even though they aged up, I don't remember what it was, like 5 years every episode or something like that. So she spent some time with him and she cares about him. So if he's in danger in some way from Rio or otherwise, and she protects him, she sacrifices herself, that's something that could show some growth. We also get that little bit of a hint there as Lilia tells her, when she calls you a coward, hit the deck.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different ways that potentially could go on this show. I mean, I think the implication is she's fighting Rio. Rio calls her a coward, and she needs to dodge whatever Rio does with her.
A knife. A little knife.
Yeah, a little knife. What's she holding in her other hand, by the way? Is it a dried up heart or something like that, or a root?
That's a weird guess, Alex.
I don't know.
It's a weird first guess.
That's what as far anything.
I feel like you've been watching ahead somehow, dude. You're saying
I
some
have
weird
not.
Specific.
I
what are we having for dinner?
That.
Is that a dried up heart? No.
No,
it's hamburger.
Why would I don't know. Say that? Why would she be holding like a horseradish or something? I just
feel bad for like a deck casually walking by that's just has nothing to do with it. It's going to get, you know, hit. I mean, that's going to be rough.
Well, no, I was going to say the other thing is we have a tarot deck in this episode, so they might be like, hit the deck like we're supposed to think, jump out of the way, but it might be literally hit the tarot deck or something like that.
Yeah, Lilia definitely has that kind of language. She's like, yo, bro, hit the deck, bro. Let's do this. Come on, hit the deck.
Yeah, find the shelf and then jump through it.
You could know. Be a tape deck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it could be. Turn on a Walkman, jam out to some tunes.
Oh, man, I hope that's what it is. Turn on a Walkman.
Yeah, for sure. What do we think about the death reveal, though? Like, what does that mean for Rio and what does that mean for the Coven? Obviously, we're talking about that a little bit anyway, but what's your take, Pete? And how do you feel about your the number one plaster from the Plaza fan base? How do you feel about her being death? Oh, you're jamming out to it right now.
Yeah, just super
deck,
excited
bro.
About
hit the
it.
Deck. Hit the deck. Mix yeah, that up. The deck.
I liked, you know, the fact that, you know, Agatha was truthful where she was like, yeah, she's death. And yeah, I got a thing for bad boys because that makes me think that in this next episode, we're going to get a little bit of them together. And whether that's like in the future ruling the underworld or a flashback to when they first started dating and the troubles of living in hell and trying to date. I mean, you know, it could be a lot of fun stuff. So, yeah, I was super happy. I also really loved all the Jen stuff in this episode.
Yeah. Just to stay on the Rio stuff for a second, yeah. Justin, were you going to?
I was going to talk about, are you looking forward to the rom-com, potential rom-com here, Pete?
Yeah, I'm smelling a rom-com coming.
Mm-hmm. And you dated in hell as well, right, Pete?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, who hasn't? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. I was sorry. I was trying. I almost was like, "Oh, did you use Sarah Bustle?" But Bustle is not the dating addict. It's Bumble, so that doesn't work. Why did I even say that out loud?
I don't know.
Beelzel Bumble.
Oh, there we go.
There we go.
Whew. Thanks. Save that one, Justin. I have a question. I have another question for you guys. This is a third question. Do you think Rio is the father of Nick Scratch? Do you think we're going to get, this is a very like comic booky reference, but do you think we're going to get a Mystique Destiny being Nightcrawler's parents type thing, but with Rio and Agatha?
Yeah, oh. I mean, and technically Nick Scratch is sometimes portrayed as a demon, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it could definitely be that or there. I think they will be the parents in some capacity of Nick Scratch, yes.
Yeah. Oh, no. I just realized they mentioned my least favorite Marvel character a couple of times, and we might be getting him this next episode.
Mephisto?
Yeah.
I will tell you, Pete, Jack Schaefer, the showrunner of Agatha All Along and also of WandaVision, she's done a bunch of interviews, and of course people have asked her about Mephisto. It's pretty clear she does not care about Mephisto at all.
Like, yes.
I'm definitely paraphrasing a quote, but there was one recent one in the last episode where somebody asked her about it, and she was like, basically like, grow the up. Least interesting thing would be to bring in Mephisto and that be the answer to all of this stuff. So I think there's a good chance we will not get a Mephisto.
That would be awesome.
Cameo in this show.
We can't be burned twice. There's
That's
no
what
way
he does. You made a deal with the devil to get the devil, and he tricked you.
The greatest trick he ever pulled was not appearing in an MCU program.
Yeah.
You
know?
We're going to get him eventually. There's been rumors
that's,
that Mephisto.
That's not that talk. That's we get him now us, or never. Now or never?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, don't say that.
Do you want to talk about Jen, though, Pete?
Yeah, I really thought that, you know, we got some Lillian Jen moments that were really nice and sweet. You know, the kind of jumping around crazy talk was driving us nuts. But we also got to see some really nice stuff between the two of them. And then the fact that we got this kind of tease that she could be a high priestess is nice to kind of like give her more, because I feel like, you know, there's a lot of underused stuff going on in this show. So it'd be nice to kind of have some of that kind of pay off, especially if this is going to be the last episode.
You'd rather have her than Deborah Jo Rupp come back.
Well, come on, dude. We don't have to choose like that. You know
you
what I mean?
Need to
but
choose.
Jen is great. And
you can bring back one dead character on the show, including Jen, who's going to die next episode. Who do you think, Pete? Who comes back?
Oh, man. You can't do that. I can't choose.
So none of them. They all stay dead.
No, they all live, man.
They all rot in hell forever.
They all live.
Rot in hell, Pete LePage.
How did you guys feel about the trial wardrobe for everyone? Because we got some fun Glinda, we got Wicked Witch.
I wish we didn't both have Glinda and the Wicked Witch. I wish they were all different things. I thought the old
Disney witch was fun that Jen was wearing. That was kind of a
queen. That made sense just with the whole beauty angle, because the evil queen always wants to be beautiful. She wants Snow White's beauty. And Jen is similar. When we found her, she was in the beauty business. So that made sense to me. Wicked Witch made sense for Agatha, obviously. Like, that's not exactly a one-to-one, but it certainly makes sense there. Glinda made less sense to me for Lilia, and I didn't quite get the Maleficent Billy thing.
Just a cool
He's got
hat.
The cheekbones, man.
He's got the cheekbones, but I was trying to wrap my brain around that. Was that some sort of, like, beyond it being a Disney thing, was it supposed to be like he's supposed to, seen as sort of a villain or feeling like he's doing bad stuff, but when you see the other side of it, maybe what he's doing Heart is of not gold. So bad?
Yeah, exactly. Powerful, but has that kind of hidden heart of gold that if you get to, you know.
Seen in the hit movie Maleficent starring Angelina Jolie.
Damn right.
My feelings are it was more of just like, what are some witches that look unique? And they put them in.
But the comic was better, as we all know. I mean, that comic was
glorious. The Sue Lee Maleficent comic? Yes. It is fantastic.
Very good comic.
Side reference here. Check it out. It's from Dynamite. It is awesome, awesome. Yeah. I agree. It felt a little random, or they could have hit it harder. And I have two questions. I'm only going to remember the first one. I don't know. I'm
sweet. Saying great.
What a mystery.
No. I want to ask you guys, like, Riddle. About – anyway. Justin, I specifically wanted to ask you about this trial, because you've been digging into, like, the quality of the trials on this show. This, to me, felt like what you've wanted all along. Am I wrong about that?
Yes. This was good. It was clear. Yeah. It was like, I don't mean it. I would say use the term gamey in a way that it was like, we knew the rules and then we hit them. And we hit them in a good, the wrong way to show that they were in trouble. The right way to show that they won. And then bonus, it was how Lilia
reverse defeated Uno.
Yes, exactly. She reversed that shit.
Yeah.
And that was cool. So, yes, it was very well structured. It matched with the emotional resonance of what was happening with everyone else. It was definitely the best trial. I will say that sealing of swords was quite slow. That was like Indiana Jones, but slower.
Yeah, but I didn't want it to be. It was already scary enough.
No, I wanted them to be stabbed. That's how sealing works.
If
you're building a trap, just do it. You don't need to be like, let's slow it down.
No. Yeah,
and we should mention, for anybody who's just listening to the audio podcast, we have the same thing on all of our ceilings. So if we ever have a bad opinion, it lowers or drops a sword. And that hasn't happened yet.
But instead of tarot cards, we're playing Pokemon cards. Yeah. And I'm about to drop a Charizard.
But also, we needed the swords up there to take out the seven. You know what I mean? Because if the swords all fell, they go up. And it was like, only if we'd done more right. You know, so I just felt like I thought the swords were scary enough. And we need some on top for taking out the bad guys. But what was the second question?
Actually, I don't know what it was going to be as a question, but it was more of a topic, I guess, talking about the length
swords and
of
ceilings.
Swords and ceilings, the length of the season, because something that I really started to feel in this episode, based on
it was
the
only
Lilia
32
Jen,
minutes.
Well, based on the Lilia Jen relationship, where Jen is still like, I don't know, man, are we friends? Do we know each other? What's going on here? And they do have a really nice bond by the end of the episode. I really like that final moment with her when, again, she says, I always love being a witch, and Jen yells no, because they have had a connection there. But I'm really starting to feel like we need 22 episode structured seasons of a show like this, because it's just hitting its groove on episode 7. And then we have 2 left. I guess my question part was, are you guys feeling the same?
Well, I think we've wanted these characters to be like, we like each other from the beginning, from the second episode when we meet them all. I think we talked about how it's like, well, they clearly don't like each other. That's all they talk about is how they're mad at each other. But we knew we were going to get here, and it's so satisfying to see that. I also really liked that at first it was all supposedly flowing through Billy, and that was wrong. And it's actually each witch needs to do their thing. And so when we got Lilia doing it and binding them together a little bit more, I think we could have had that earlier and started to just push that idea through in episode 3 rather than not till episode 7.
Yeah, I feel like I wouldn't want to we struggled enough with the 7 to get here. If we would have made that longer, I feel like that would have not as been as good. But
this is like your witch's road, Pete.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I guess you don't have to have the characters necessarily like love each other and be best friends or anything like that. They could still have conflict and, you know, great against each other. But like you're talking about.
Would you say that that's how we do things on this podcast, Alex?
No, again, the swords haven't fell yet. So I feel like we agree on everything and all of our opinions are correct.
We're definitely in the fighting part. That's what you're asking.
The problem is things like what we were talking about with Agatha, where Agatha is basically no-butting her way out of the situation all the time. She's like, I'd rather be literally anywhere else. And Jen, too, Sashir Vizamata, very funny. But other than little moments, there's also the moment when they're in the tunnel towards the end of the episode, and Lilia says, I want you to come with me. And Jen's like, why would I come with you? And she says, because you're my sister in the craft. Which is basically like, we are in a coven. We are no longer covenless witches. Come on. That's a great emotional beat to hit, but I want to see what happens past that. And again, we're already starting to wrap everything up.
Yeah. I think the gauntlet is down on Agatha stepping up emotionally and just as a protagonist to really be the main character of this show in these last two episodes. And that's going to be hard.
What else from the episode? There were a bunch of great lines. What did you, just working our way through here, what did you guys think of Agatha being like, Billy asked, is Wanda Maximoff really dead?
Yeah, I wrote that down.
Yes, no, maybe.
So makes me think maybe we might see her.
Yeah.
Well, I have a prediction on that, how it's going to happen. I think if in the last moments of this last episode coming up, Agatha brings back the coven so they live again. I think maybe she will get a post-credit sequence where Wanda is back alive because she's part of that spell as part of the coven, potentially.
Interesting.
Ooh. Huh.
Good theory. It is also interesting how Billy / William is relating to Wanda, like calling her Wanda Maximoff, calling her the Scarlet Witch. Not calling her mom, because as he says in the episode, he already has a mom. So that memory jumble up thing, I think, is really dramatically interesting.
Well, there was that moment also where Lilia was like, I remember you from your bar mitzvah. And Billy's like, huh? And he's like, but because it wasn't him. It was the previous Billy. I thought that was cool and sort of opens up that problem for Billy.
Mm-hmm. Great line from Catherine Hahn, from Agatha. Hey, you wanted straight answers? Ask a straight lady.
Yeah.
Very fun.
That's fun.
Yeah. And then the funniest line of the episode, though, was Lilia telling Billy, we are not cool, teenager. And Jen saying, damn, using his full name.
That's fun. I agree. I
good joke.
Yeah.
and that felt like a joke added later because it cut from the action to just a weirdly wide sync, like a medium shot of her being like, here's my joke. And then it cut right back to the action. I was like, wow, really made that happen in post.
One line that didn't quite work for me as well is when I think it was Lilia's like, who's the querent? And Billy's like, I'm the querent. Which feels like he got a big laugh when he was like, don't stick me back into the closet in the first episode, which apparently was an improv that Joe Locke did. And he's like, I got to keep going with it. Here we go. And I was like, yeah, that's all right.
That's fine.
Billy's had a lot of lines that I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Especially early on in the episodes, like we get here.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Pete?
The tarot card reader with the death comes for us all line was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice job. You know, Yeah, the maestro.
Nice idea.
And also this, but also this, like us realizing that she's going to kind of die or has died and we only have like a couple left. Like the way that all crystallized as well was really just very well done.
Pete, how do you feel with the reveal that Aubrey Plaza is death? Do you think that's going to change how you live your life and your excitement to conclude?
You know, it makes me think, do I have to turn into Thanos to get the love that I need? You know what I mean? But
sorry, slightly related question. That wood chipper you just turned on next to you that you seem to be about to jump into, does that have anything to do with this?
No. Do you think this outfit would look good in the afterlife, or should I probably change into
definitely
something?
Definitely not. Change into something.
No, I think you're nude in the afterlife.
What?
And by your nude, I mean just you, Pete.
Oh, no.
Devil's all buttoned up, wearing a nice hat.
Wait, hey, when you yell about Mephisto for too long, the devil hears, and he's like, that dude's going in the buff when he dies.
I hope he lets me keep my kicks on, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say wearing sneakers when you're naked is even weirder than being fully naked. So
I need sneaks. You know what I mean? And walking around on all those like bones and soles and stuff.
Well, in hell, even your sneakers are sharp on the inside.
I just to jump off of what you were saying, Pete, about the death comes for us all line, the answer that Lilia gives her or the kind of thing she throws back is you say it like it's a comfort. And I think that's what she realizes at the end.
She does, yeah.
Yeah, which I thought was very nicely done structurally in terms of the episode, is we get to see the entire span of her life, but it's all happening simultaneously. She's never going anywhere. She's experiencing youth, middle age, old age, all at the same time. So there's really, even though her life is ending, what I took away from the smile is it's never ending. It's always going back. It's always continuing. It's sort of a little bit of an Ouroboros in terms of her life, and she's in this loop. And I thought that was nice. It was very sweet.
Plus, I imagine she likes to go back to her childhood in Sicily and really eat that pasta again. You know, that really good pasta.
Oh, yeah. Stregonona's pasta, the original pasta witch. Do you guys, Stregonona? No?
I don't know who you're talking about.
You don't know about Stregonona? Stregonona the Pasta Witch and her never-ending pasta bowl? Big Anthony? You don't know about Big Anthony?
The Pasta Witch.
Yeah. What is happening?
Oh, man. You got to look up Stregonona, man. You'll love that story.
Alex has become unstuck in time.
Is this a child's story? What are you quoting?
Stregonona. You don't know Stregonona? Stregonona has never...
Keep saying it, Alex.
Keep saying... What, are you stuck in a loop? What happened to you?
Stregonona. Stregonona.
Oh, my God. I feel so bad for the people listening.
Big Anthony. I'm sorry.
You do sound... I know what you're talking about, Alex, but you do sound crazy. And I know. The coven at the beginning
of
this. Oh,
weird. For the first time ever, the swords got like a little bit lower.
They definitely poked into your brain because it's broken currently.
All right. Why don't we move to our vision board and talk about what we're looking forward to going forward? I'll throw out something first. My big thing that I'm looking forward to that we kind of talked about already that I don't think is going to happen next episode, but I do want to happen, is getting back to Agatha. Nothing against anybody else, but we got to recenter her in the show. She is the focal point of the show, and she's been very much in the background the past couple of episodes. I really want to see her come front and center, particularly because we're getting the two-part finale next week.
I'm looking forward to hearing the song Rio from the 1980s at the end of the next episode.
You might.
Oh, man.
You're legit.
Come on. A witchy playing version If I Had Time in a Bottle was such a great choice. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was a great song. You know what I learned that I didn't know about that song? So that's Jim Croce? Is that how you pronounce it?
Jim Croce, yes.
Wrote it, I might be getting the name slightly wrong, but he came up with the idea for the song in 1970 when his wife was pregnant. That's what it's kind of about. He released it in 1972. It became a huge hit, and then he died in a plane crash in 1973. So, like, the theme of the whole song about, like, if I had time in the bottle, if I had more time, I need more time. Really sad. That's a nice note to end the podcast on.
Right? Wow. What a bummer, dude. That's Jesus. Such a bummer.
It really is.
I was talking about a fun thing about her name is Rio.
Not to bring it down to a fictional level, but at the same time, like tying that up with Lilia's arc in the episode, I thought was very poignant as well.
I hope the coven brings back Jim Croce.
Yeah.
Oh, God, dark. Wait, Pete, did you go to your vision board? What do you want to see?
I don't want to see anything that's in your head because it's all sad and insane. But
well, this has been
I'm
such
hoping,
a chore for you for so many weeks. So.
Yeah, I don't need to have Wanda, but I'm just happy that we're where the show is, and I want more time with the characters, and them working together would be amazing. And then if Wanda and Agatha can kind of like be teased a showdown at the end, that would be sick. But, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're doing this already, but given that we are getting the two-part finale next week, let's all make a big, bold prediction for something that's going to happen by the end of the show. Pete, yours is Wanda, Agatha, round
yeah,
two.
Yeah, or maybe Wanda, death, you know what I mean? Who knows? Mm.
My prediction is sort of the opposite. I don't think we're going to get Wanda until a post-credit. I think, especially we're talking about how this show needs more Agatha, I think it needs to end with Agatha. And if we're setting up the heartfelt story next episode of the saga of Rhea and Agatha, I think we're going to get a big battle between Rhea and Agatha at the end of the Witch's Road, which will give her power, perhaps over death, to bring the coven back.
Yeah, that... My big theory is that thing that I've been saying all along, that I do think she is going to still have power by the end of the show, but trade all of it or some of it to bring everybody back. But based on this episode, I think we'll get a like, no, Lilia is fine. She has chosen to stay dead, but I assume Jen's going to die the next episode. We'll get Jen back. She'll be the high priestess of a new coven with Alice in it. Maybe with Agatha in it, maybe with Billy in it, but TBD on that. But
maybe with Sharon.
Maybe with Sharon. That would be pretty fun. I think we'll probably get her back as well. I'm feeling pretty confident about that happening in the last episode. And there you go. If you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m.
Sure do.
Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Agatha all along. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter/X, Comic Book Club Live on TikTok and Instagram, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, stay marvelous.
And Pete, one tip about the wood chipper. Just commit. You don't want to dip your toe in like a cold.
I'm going to get a running start. I'm going to do like the old cartoon dive. You know
what
I mean?
Nice. Plaza, here I come. Stregonada.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.